We've come to the very heart of the lessons of Colossians. Everything really cycles around these two verses. Everything is more or less an explanation of them, leading up to them, or explaining them further, and then making them practical for our lives. I'm referring to verses 9 and 10 of the second chapter of Colossians. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him. Those just that's as far as I want to read. Ye are complete in him. Now this verse then states that we are filled with his fullness. Now this is a fact. Please note this. This is a fact. He doesn't say we ought to be. He says we are. This has been when we become Christians. We constantly, of course, grow in the knowledge of him. We are babes in Christ, and yet we grow in the knowledge of him. The Bible is so clear on this also. That is what is meant by when the Bible speaks on the knowledge of him, by the knowledge of him. God has made all provisions for us, he says in 2 Peter 1, verse 3, for this, for life and for our walk, by the knowledge of him, that we may know him. Paul, in the third chapter of the book of Philippians, verses 10 to 14, makes this so clear. He says, I want to know him and the power of his resurrection, growing in the knowledge of him. Now then we come to the statement which lies at the very heart of the study in Colossians, namely, that we are complete in him. I want to discuss that with you today. This applies to truth of completeness that is made possible by him in us. Of course, verses 9 and 10 must always be seen together. And ye are complete in him. Ponder that verse again and again. Since he is the very fullness of God bodily, then nothing can be added to him. Because he is God. There's nothing more that can be added to him. He is God. Just the same as the Father is God and the Holy Spirit is God. Jesus Christ is God. And since the believer is in Christ, what can be added which the believer does not already possess in Christ Jesus? That brings us to the key, the whole thing. So ours is to appropriate what we already possess in Christ. Did you get that? This is the very heart of the message for our benefit, the application of it, the practical side of it. We are to appropriate what we already have in him. I think one of the key illustrations of this we have in the scriptures is in Joshua, the first chapter and the third verse. After Moses had died, God spoke to Joshua and says, Joshua, now you go in and take the land. And then he made this statement. This is what I want you to get. And every place that the sole of thy foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you. What he is simply saying, you're complete in Christ now. I've given you everything, but you have to come and take it piece by piece or whichever way you want to look at it. How then is this filling to become real in our experience? In the second chapter, verses 6 and 7, we read these words, and I just want to repeat them. For as ye therefore received the Lord Jesus Christ, or Jesus Christ as the Lord, ye received him as your Savior and Lord, now walk ye in him. You see, it's by faith, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith that ye have, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Just keep on believing and keep on trusting. Everything that you need is in him. First, then, is to know the fact of the fullness of Christ himself, that Christ is totally God, fully God. This is an eternal fact. It is not to be argued. It is not to be doubted, not to be quibbled with. It is a fact. So then, we are complete in him. What more do we want? In Vincent's word study, he said this, that ye are made full in him. It's not that ye are made full in him, but ye are in him made full. You say, what's the difference? We will come to that as we go along. In him dwells all the fullness, in Christ Jesus, all the fullness of the Godhead. He is fully God. So you, being in him, are made full. But here's a warning. Watch it carefully. It is important to note that the fullness of God communicated to the believer does not mean that we begin to possess some of his deity. Never. He alone possesses that, and he shares that with nobody. Listen to Isaiah 42, verse 8, where he says, I am the Lord. That is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. I will share that with nobody. But such qualities as the holiness of God, righteousness, and so on, yes, that is what we possess in Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, He has been made unto us righteousness, wisdom, knowledge, whatever we need. He is made unto us. Again, we also read in Romans, the 3rd chapter, and in verse 21, these words, But now the righteousness of God, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. The righteousness is given to everyone who will dare to trust and to believe God for him. This righteousness of God is neither an attribute of God, nor a changed character of the believer, but it is Christ himself who has been made righteousness in our place, who fully met the demands of the law, and he bore our sins, and now he is being made righteousness unto us. Jesus Christ, who committed no sin, only righteousness, his righteousness is counted to us. It's like a bookkeeping term. Something like this, I owe $5,000 to somebody, and I cannot pay it. But a rich man comes along, gives me a check, signs his name, and he says, Here, write out what you need. And therefore that check becomes what we need for the debt that we have. Jesus Christ becomes to us what we need in him. And so we have everything in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, He was made sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Every spiritual want and every spiritual need is fulfilled as we are in Christ Jesus. Now, there's a contrast of importance that we need to note. The fullness of the Godhead is in Christ, and the filling of the believer is also in Christ. You know those two statements. Verse 9 says the fullness of God is in Christ. Verse 10 says we are being filled with the fullness of God in Christ Jesus. Now, this fullness is an eternal fact. But another word is used here for the believer, being filled or being made full. Now, Christ is not made full. He is full. He is fully God, in other words. There's nothing can be added to him. He always is and always was. But the believer is not full, but is being made full or being made complete is another way of saying it. Since then I am made complete in him, there is nothing I need, which is not to be found in him. In the second chapter of the passage, in the 16th verse, he says, Therefore, let no man judge you in these things. Or the 18th verse, let no man beguile you of your reward. You have everything in Christ Jesus. I pause for a moment to say this. I realize that what we're studying these few days here is not baby food. Not milk or pablum. It was meat for those who have grown in the knowledge of him. And if you haven't grown to this stage, if you're still in the so-called salvation stage, and if that's all you know about Jesus Christ, that he is your Savior, do not be discouraged. But let God speak to you. There's more and more and more. Everything you need is in Christ Jesus. That's what we're trying to say. Now in the next 5 or 6 verses, the believer's new position in Christ, which we saw about being complete in Christ, provides the life and the power for his complete victory in his spiritual life without anything added, such as helps and props and so on. People come along and say, Oh, you've got to, this is a good help to make you a real Christian. No, everything we have is in Christ Jesus. Here's a very important thing to mark. Test any religion religious teaching that comes along. Test its basic fundamentals. Where does it put Christ? Where does it put his work and his person? Does it rob him of the fullness of his deity? That is, does it rob him either of his deity or even of his humanity, that he is truly God and truly man? Does it claim that the believer must have some supplement, experience of some kind with Christ? That is, they say, Christ is not enough. We have the secret, therefore listen to us. If that's what they teach, friends, then it is unscriptural, it is false, and it is dangerous, and it makes Colossians 2, verses 9 and 10, a lie, and makes God a liar. What can be added to completeness, friends, and make the believer more complete? That's impossible. In Genesis 1:31, after Jesus, as God had created the universe, he saw everything that he had made, and it was good. So here also, what he pronounces complete is complete. Jesus Christ alone is sufficient for our every spiritual need. Let me illustrate. I was in California some many years ago now for a union campaign. One of the pastors didn't like some things that I have said. I was talking about our security in Christ Jesus, and he didn't like that. So he came to see me, and we had a nice talk. And, of course, we discussed the matter of salvation, that it was totally of grace, that works had nothing to do about it, nothing to do with it. He fully agreed. Well, I said, then if works have nothing to do with it, one way or the other, then it has to be secure in Christ Jesus. He finally saw the point. But then he said something I've never forgotten. It hurt me deeply. Not me physically as such, but his attitude. He said, but I'm not going to teach it, simply because I have to have an axe over my people to keep them in line. My friends, we do not need anything else but Jesus Christ and him crucified, risen, and living with the Father today. That's all there is to it. So then, in these next few verses, there is an elaboration of the teaching of this 10th verse, that we are complete in him, by showing some of the practical details of what is meant by being complete in Christ Jesus. We must recognize, we must believe, that our union, our oneness with Christ gives the believer a new position, a position of completeness to which nothing can be added one way or the other. In the 3rd chapter, the 11th verse of Colossians, it says, and I close with this now, Christ is all and in all. Therefore, this makes it not only unnecessary, but actually sinful for us to get involved again in the various forms of legalism, but rather remembering that we are complete in Christ.